This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cheeseheads. Get on your feet. It's Curd and Law.
Hosted by Sparky Fiper and Ryan Horvath.
Hey, it's Sparky Fiber, 1250 AM, The Fan in beautiful, lovely Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that actually is kind of cold today in the 60s, and it was in the 50s, actually wearing a new Brewers jacket I got from my buddy Jake. Jason Hershorn, Jason B. Hershorn, I better get it right. Follow him on Twitter at @by_JBH. You guys have heard me interview him numerous times on 1250 AM, The Fan, PFW. Member and co-founder of the Leap newsletter, and they do a great job over there. Tell everybody before we get started here about the Jonathan Taylor rumors and the 53-man roster decision, how people can get the Leap newsletter and what it's all about.
It's super easy. You just go to theleap.football. That's the URL, theleap.football. It's a newsletter I do with Peter Bukowski. We cover the Packers from an angle that I don't think anyone else on the beat does, so check us out.
Yeah, it's a great newsletter, and it'll make you think, may make you yell at either one of these two at a given point in time. But either way, you'll be engaged either way, I promise you. You won't put it on and go, oh, that was nice, and walk away. That's not going to happen. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the Jonathan Taylor rumor as we're recording this on Wednesday, just past noon Central time. I was all excited when I saw the report earlier from Field Yates about the Packers being the other team outside of the Dolphins that were interested in Jonathan Taylor going up to the self-imposed Tuesday deadline that the Colts put out there. Remember, the deadline's not till the end of October, technically, for the trade deadline. But either way, and then they put Jonathan Taylor, obviously, on the PUP list. So he's out 4 games. Now there's some talk about they may go after Jonathan Taylor or something like that because they don't think he's hurt now. It's getting really, really ugly in Indy. Either way, there was a report the Packers were involved. I got all excited. Woo, okay. And I'm going to tell you right now, prior to the Ryan Wood report from the Green Bay Press Gazette, who said that his sources say it was simply a Packer scout talking to somebody in the Colts, and that's how the story kind of blew up. That is what it is. But when I saw the initial report, I was like, it's actually kind of makes sense for two reasons. One, they're going to have money to pay him. Nobody's paying him $16 million. So I don't know what the number is going to be he eventually gets, but I doubt it's $16 million a year, which is what Taylor wants. But Jones took a pay cut essentially to stay this year. So it would make sense that they walked away from Aaron Jones this year. I think everybody expects him to walk away from David Bakhtiari this year in the offseason as well. You have a quarterback that, even if he has a good year and gets an extension, still isn't going to be making $50 million a year like the previous guy. So you don't have to worry about paying a ton of money for your quarterback. So you can justify, you know, in 2 or 3 years having that pay increase for your running back position to have Jonathan Taylor be one of those guys. And if you give him a 3-4 year deal, I mean, it makes sense. He's 24. Does he have a lot of wear and tear from Wisconsin? Sure. Does he have a lot of wear and tear from 2021 when he had like 332 carries? Absolutely. Would I have loved that deal with him and Aaron Jones for this year alone, even once he comes off this PUP list? Yeah, that would have been unbelievable. And I've got another angle on this, but let's stop there. So when you saw the report, Jason Hershorn, what was your immediate reaction?
That an agent put this out there, because that's really the only plausible explanation. Now, we know that the Packers had some conversation with the Colts, but I also very much want to emphasize that by itself does not mean very much. Remember, if you want to go back, I think almost a decade at this point, the Packers, via one of their lower level front office people, reached out about Daryl Revis, and right. that didn't materialize anything either. They do these kind of things on the regular because there's no harm in talking. You haven't sacrificed anything. And if it turns out that the player you're talking about is available for way less than you think, okay, well, then maybe you can proceed. But it's really just, you know, a fishing exposition or expedition up until that point. Now it comes time to really dismantle the proposed logic of such a deal. If you are a team, not necessarily the Packers, any team right. that trades for Jonathan Taylor, you are paying a godfather price because the Colts do not want to actually trade him. That was never their intention. They didn't want to extend him, at least not right now, but they don't actually want to trade him. That's why they have such a cost prohibitive attachment to him. You know, no team's giving up a first round pick for him, and they know that. That's why they're asking for it, because this way they can say we dangled Jonathan Taylor out there without actually having to deal with the consequences. You know, there is another report that when their conversations with Miami Dolphins, they were looking for Jaylen Waddle and more. Guess what? Jaylen Waddle in a vacuum is just a more valuable player than Jonathan Taylor. And if you're looking for Waddle and more, you're not actually seriously engaging with the trade market, which again reinforces the notion that the Colts don't actually want to move on from Jonathan Taylor, at least not right now. Now you come back to the Packers. If you're trading for Taylor, hypothetically, you've already given up any real negotiating leverage that you have. Once you've traded a real asset for him or assets for him, he can realistically ask for the star and the moon and everything. Like $16 million or whatever he's asking for running back no longer becomes unreasonable when you've already made that step. And you can't really negotiate all of that in advance. This is a quickly moving situation. So I don't agree with the notion that it wouldn't cost very much. Also don't agree with the notion that it really helps that team much this year, even let alone down the line. Like, Taylor is someone who has already dealt with injuries. He missed a lot of time last year. Yep. He's been dinged up in the past. You look by comparison to Aaron Jones, not that he's going to be healthy forever, but he's averaged one missed game over the last 4 years. That is just a significantly better track record with health than Jonathan Taylor. And Taylor is, in a vacuum, a better player, but is he a better pass catcher? Is he going to transform the offense in some way that in this year matters? I would argue very strongly no. And looking long term, Aaron Jones is going to turn 30 in the not too distant future, and that's a concern for him long term. But the Packers have other ways of replacing him. You know, they can draft another running back. They can re-sign A.J. Dillon if they want to. They can do multiple things, all at a cost less than it would take to acquire Jonathan Taylor, let alone the extension you would have to give him after trading for him. So you combine all those things, and that deal does not really make sense. Again, reaching out to the Colts, that doesn't really hurt you. I wouldn't view that by itself as automatically serious interest. And I think that's what that Ryan Wood report kind of reinforced. Right. The Packers are willing to talk to teams about almost anybody. And that's true for a lot of other clubs as well, but it doesn't really mean that much. And in the situation with Jonathan Taylor and the Colts, this seems, I don't know this for a fact, but this seems like an agent trying to drum up an interest in teams that, you know, may have talked about Taylor, but may not have been willing to really push all in for him to do so if they think another team, another player is a part of this. I ultimately view this as really just kind of a non-story.
Okay, so my follow-up to this is, so now what about the locker room? What now about Aaron Jones? Because that's what this is. To me, if I'm Aaron Jones, this is like, okay, they're trying to get my replacement. I worked out all offseason with Jordan Love being the good soldier, having this dude's back the whole time through this whole mess with Rodgers and everything else going on, take a pay cut essentially to stay here and play for these dudes, and they're out hunting for my replacement here kind of going forward. I just wonder how he takes it and how that locker room takes it when they see that report come out, and then it's going to be, you know, do you buy the Field Yates side of it? Do you buy the Ryan Wood side where it was just a scout? There's nothing to see here. Move on. Because I don't look, to be fair, are there trust issues between that locker room and Brian Gutekunst to begin with? Maybe, could be. I mean, we've heard from several players now, most of them are old, that have had their issues with Goody in the past. I just wonder how this plays out now in that locker room.
I think it's worth pointing out here that most players and the representation, especially as that player enters, let's say, the back half of their career, tend to have some trust issues with the front office in question. Probably. I don't mean the Packers alone. That's true across the league. And Aaron Jones is not a dummy. He knows what's going on. I don't mean specifically with Jonathan Taylor, just in general. You know, he's going to turn 30 in the not too distant future. He has really 1 year left on his deal after 2023. There are technically more seasons on that deal, but they're void years. 2024 is the last real year of that deal. He knows, independent of anything that the Packers try to do right now, even any like conversations they have, that it's a year-to-year proposition for him in Green Bay anyway. So I don't actually know how much this changes for him because it's not new information. He knew that this could realistically be the final year for him in Green Bay. He knew that the Packers, in some way, shape, or form, were going to seriously consider replacing him between now and the start of the 2024 season. Doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen, right? Like Aaron Jones could play the final year or some version of the final year of his deal in Green Bay, but these were always going to be conversations that the team was going to have. And again, Jones knows this. He's been in this business for a while. This is not new information. So does the locker room hear about this? Yeah. You know, they have phones. They're on the internet. They know, at least to some degree, what is going on. I don't actually know how much this really matters because, you know, at this time, 2 weeks from now, is anyone talking about a Jonathan Taylor report, assuming that no trade actually transpires? Or are they talking about what happened in week one? The news cycle is such that this will get moved on from unless there's actual forward momentum. And right now, it doesn't seem like there's any of that.
Let's go to what you just said. 30 years old, right? Nathan Janke of Pro Football Focus tweeted this out yesterday. Here are the halfbacks in the NFL currently over 30 years old as we start right now. Amir Abdullah with the Raiders, 30.2. Jerick McKinnon of the Chiefs, 31.5. Raheem Mostert, 31.5. Cordarrelle Patterson, 32.5. Brandon Bolden, 33.5. Latavius Murray, 33.5. None of those guys are difference makers at this point as far as the age of 30 and so forth. So what then is the next play for Aaron Jones and his representation? Looking at he's better than all of those guys. That's not even up for debate. He's better than all of them. But as you get closer to 30, is the play to go to the Packers and go, hey, look, I'll play for less than what we just had this last deal if you extend me another 2 years past next year or whatever else and essentially up with a 3-year deal? Like, do you go forward and essentially negotiate a pay cut to stay in Green Bay for another 2 or 3 years? Or do you risk going to the open market where, based on what I'm looking at right now, is not sunshine and rainbows currently for running backs over 30? To hear the remainder of the Curd and Long podcast, simply download it on your Odyssey app or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And also don't forget you can subscribe and follow, as well as check us out on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page under Curd and Long.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.